The agenda is in the IRC channel. Francois had one addition to the agenda, which is discussing the changes that he has made to a branch of the spec. And we could probably add that in after agenda item 3, review of new issues. Are there any other updates or changes to the agenda?
Just so François speaking, as part of the debrief on the RDF working group face-to-face, maybe worth just mentioning that I actually ran a session during the bar camp, the technical plenary day last week on JSON-LD, but not only on linked data platform. We extended a bit the discussion. So it didn't bring many things on the table, but it's still some press around the
Okay, yeah, definitely. We should
document.
discuss that. Okay. So yeah, if you could talk about that in the brief review of the RDF working group face-to-face topic, that would be great. Greg, you are up to scribe today. Would you mind scribing?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. First topic up today is a brief. So we have a lot to cover today. I'm hoping that we can review most of these things and then deal with the issues offline in the issue tracker on the mailing list, mostly because we need to close off a lot of these issues quickly. I think that we have had enough discussion on a lot of these issues to close it off quickly. So anyway, pointing out that we'll try to keep comments and everything fast and furious today. Okay, so we had a fairly good discussion about JSON-LD on the RDF working group face-to-face call last week. Because of that discussion, there have been a number of offline discussions with various people that have had concerns about the JSON-LD document as it stands right now. So I have added all of the issues that I believe people have raised in the RDF working group into the issue tracker. So we should be tracking everything that people are concerned about more or less right now. I think the biggest concern in the RDF working group came down to the difference between the JSON-LD data model and the RDF data model and potential misalignment between those two data models. In general, the biggest concern there seemed to be was that there was a difference at all between the two data models. And then once we kind of explained that it's really that's a natural product of the way that we're approaching the spec, people still seem to want to try and align the two data models as much as possible. So I think many of the comments kind of form around that central concern with the specs right now. Let's see. So does anyone else, is there anything else that people felt came up during the RDF working group telecon that doesn't necessarily fit into that broad bucket?
I think that it's just basically is JSON-LD RDF, and that's sort of the meme. I think we clarified that every RDF graph or data set can be serialized to JSON-LD. I think we have expressed a desire that everything expressed in JSON-LD can be converted to RDF, although there are still a couple of issues to be dealt with.
Okay. Richard, you're on the queue.
I think there's one other issue that I have heard sort of expressed between the lines a few times that hasn't been sort of openly addressed yet, and so I expect that this might come up at some point. And that's the question, whether JSON-LD is a graph syntax or a dataset syntax or both. Because in the RDF working group, there has been this sort of, I guess, almost consensus that dataset syntaxes and graph syntaxes should be disjoint and should get different MIME types for various complex reasons having to do with the expectations of processors that find something out there in the wild and they want to know if it's a graph or if it may contain other additional graphs. And JSON-LD, if you think of it as a graph syntax that then also can serialize data sets, it might sort of, it goes against this assumption. And so that's something that may, that hasn't been raised as an, or that hasn't been discussed very explicitly in the working group yet. And so I would expect that this might still come up as an issue.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we should certainly let's put an item for that in the issue tracker so that we're tracking it and we have an. I think we do have an answer for it. My view on it is that JSON-LD is a dataset syntax. I mean, you could look at it either way, but I mean, the fact that you can express multiple graphs in a single JSON-LD document, multiple name graphs in a single document, seems to me to say that it's a dataset syntax and not specifically just a graph syntax. Greg, you may feel differently about that.
No, I think that, as I recall, it comes about from some discussions on trig and as to whether the curly braces are required for a default graph. And there was some strong sense that it should not, because if you were encountering a document such as that, if you treat it as if it might be a graph, then, for instance, you could import the data in the default data set into a graph which is named based upon its location. However, if it's a data set, then the default graph would then more likely be imported into the default graph. And that was one of the reasons why I think it's not entirely resolved, I think, but that curly braces may still be required for the default set in trig. In JSON-LD, there is no way to distinguish something that might have a named graph, and therefore, when you're processing it, might have some triples that come up with a name and others that don't. So perhaps one way to resolve that would be to provide for two different MIME types and recommend or something along those lines that services use the appropriate MIME type depending upon what's been encoded.
I don't. Okay, so let's make this an issue and move on. I somewhat disagree with that, but let's discuss it in the issue. MIME type. Marcus.
It basically is just about what parsers are going to expect. And I think in JSON-LD it's quite clear that they have to expect that graphs are in there. So I don't think we need a separate MIME type for that or change anything, because there are no other parsers. It's not like in Turtle, for example, where parsers never expect a graph. And Trig looks quite similar to Turtle, for example. So there is certainly a problem, but I don't see that as a problem in JSON-LD.
Right. Okay, let's stop the discussion there and kind of move on. Anything else on the RDF working group face-to-face before?
Yeah, the other thing that popped up there was whether we should specify an API or whether we shouldn't do that and just specify the algorithms.
Right. We're tracking that as an issue, and we'll go ahead and discuss that a little later on. But you're right, that was something else that came up. Marcus, did you have anything else to kind of add to that, or were you just raising that as another thing that was raised?
No, I'm just mentioning that was another thing that was raised.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Anything else on the RDF working group face-to-face before we move on?
No, I think that's it.
Richard, you're on the queue.
I just wanted to address one thing that sort of briefly flared up there. So there's this thing that people in the RDF, or that some people, so there's a statement that some people sort of fling around every once in a while, and I've been guilty of that as well, saying, JSON LD, it makes the same mistakes as RDF XML and so on. And Manu has, when I made that statement during the face-to-face, then Manu correctly pointed out that it would be to be helpful or to be constructive, the statement would have to be backed up with some more details on what exactly the criticism or the concern is. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that this is indeed not a constructive statement, and that it needs to be backed up with something a bit more precise regarding what the concerns might be there. And so I think there is something there that needs to be considered that I don't feel has been fully addressed yet. But it's up to those making the criticism to express that with more clarity. So I just wanted to address that sort of.
Sorry, thank you, Richard. I appreciate that, and I think that's I think what we're trying to get to, because the problem with that statement is that it doesn't. It's nearly impossible to respond to it, because we don't necessarily know what specific mistake that the commenter is concerned about. Like, there's a broad range of mistakes that RDF XML made. What's the specific one that we need to address in JSON LD? Because I think that we certainly want to address something like that. We want to address whatever mistake it was, but we need to identify exactly which mistake we're talking about before we respond to it. So yes, thank you for that. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, one criticism that I commonly hear of RDF XML is that there's many different ways to state the same thing, and that is considered to be a weakness of RDF XML. And indeed, there are many different ways to state the same things in JSON LD, although I think I pointed out there's also many different ways to state the same thing in Turtle, so I don't know that I buy that as a criticism.
Right, and I don't even know if that's what some of the people are getting at. I think the main thing that Sandro, in an offline comment I had with discussion I had with Sandro, he said JSON LD is trying to be the master of two different domains, and when you split its focus like that, you end up coming up with a mediocre result, which I don't. Of course, we don't agree with, because we're the ones that have brought this back to the point that it is. But I think that's still too general of an argument. We need to understand exactly what the weaknesses are, not have broad statements that trying to solve two different problems makes the solution weak. That doesn't necessarily follow. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I just want to point out the key difference, because if it is true, if you just glance at arbitrary JSON LD, if you take some kind of JSON LD document and throw it into, say, a templating system, you will end up with the same problems you had with RDF XML. You just don't know what shape that data is in. But the key difference is that JSON LD has the context to clearly lock down the shapes of various forms. There are two things which we don't have in the current core, which are framing or the connect graphify approach, which are the key to being able to successfully, using a context, do very complex templating. You can do basic templating with just the context and the raw JSON results. predictably because you know what shapes these things will have. But combine that with Connect, I've already been able to use that in templates in a way which I never could have done with, say, XSLT and RDF XML, or even the Grit alternative I made up some years ago. Mm. So it's the context is the key to understanding the shape of specific JSON-LD documents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will note that Flatten does allow you to do this. It does allow you to get a consistent shape. And that,
true.
Yeah, if you do a Graphify step that may not be standardized, but it does allow broad application of templates.
Yeah, and basically you can do Connect in just a couple of lines of code with the result of Flatten in your application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, I think these concepts are ones that many of the people in the RDF working group are not aware of because they either are not necessarily JavaScript programmers, haven't used JSON, or have not read the spec, or didn't even know that the existence of these calls in the API. Okay. Anything else on the RDF working group face-to-face before we move on? All right. Moving on to the next agenda item, which is... Oh, actually, sorry, Francois, you wanted to cover how the... was it a boss that you put together, or was it something else?
It's named a breakout session. So it's during the technical plenary day, where it was run as a bar camp. So we had to fight on the billboard to get a slot, but we succeeded. Just to mention that the session took place. I think it's fair to say that most people around in the room were kind of RDF guys or linked data guys or. More than developers, but just wanted to mention that there are some mints that I can just test, just pass it on IRC. I don't think there's a lot to take from the discussions. It was more an informal discussion than something that led to something else. That's it. I just wanted to mention that we talked a bit about Link Data, in particular with the guys from the Link Data Platform working group.
What was the did the Link Data Platform working group folks find JSON-LD interesting, or did they find? I unfortunately didn't know this happened and hasn't been able to read the minutes. What Were they happy with the development of it, or did they see issues with it, or were the same issues that they saw aligned with the RDF working group?
I don't think that's that JSON-LD is their main priority for the time being. So it different people have different views as usual. I only attended the first half day of the LDP working group face to face. Richard, you might have attended the whole 2 days. I don't know, but I don't know if it has been discussed during the face to face or not. I don't think so.
Okay. Was there anything specific that came out of that we should do?
There was one comment that I don't know if that's been mentioned, but it's kind of out of scope. There was a question about how do you relate JSON schema with the way we define our context in JSON-LD. It's kind of two different things, but indeed there's some kind of overlap in the syntax. That's basically the interesting question I got from the session.
So just to comment on that very quickly, in the Paceworm work that we're doing in the web payments group, we use JSON schema to validate JSON-LD input into the system. And the way that we do that is we use our own context and frame the incoming data. So we basically frame the incoming data and use our own context such that the structure is very regular, and then we apply JSON schema to that structure to validate the information coming in, and it works really, really nicely. So if anyone ever gets that question, we'd be happy to kind of talk about, in more detail, talk about how we're using JSON schema with JSON LD, but they fit very nicely together.
Well, if you have time, I guess the blog post could be a good idea. I don't know if there's already one.
I didn't quite get that.
Thing, if you have time, maybe a blog post would be a good idea on that, but I get it, it takes time.
Yep. Okay, we'll try and do that. I have a lot of writing commitments over the next month and a half. Okay. Does that cover the breakout session?
I think so. I don't know if Richard has anything to add. He was there.
Okay. Were there any strong detractors? Was there anyone really upset in the group or didn't want to see JSON LD as a rec?
No, I guess the you can't convince people one way or the other if they are on one side or the other. But the main point from RDF guys, I don't know if we can call them RDF guys, is that they want to work with the RDF data model directly with triples and using RDF lib, for instance. And so they don't necessarily like the way that JSON LD approaches that, since you mix the syntax and the kind of representation in memory, the way you interact with the data. So that's the usual point, I would say, nothing fairly new in that regard.
Yeah, and I guess those people are not the target community for JSON LD. If you have a triple store, great for you. But this is, you know, if you have a triple store and you can query it and do all that stuff, you don't need JSON LD. At least that was our approach when we looked at JSON LD, starting the JSON LD work, is if you have Sparkle and you have a triple store, then you don't need JSON LD. You need JSON LD when you don't have those things or you don't have the technical expertise to, use that, or don't have the money to buy the expensive solutions that are required to work with the data in that way.
Just to add one thing, I was surprised by how large the turnout was for this breakout. So it was by far the largest that I've been to during the day. So there's definitely, you guys probably know that anyways, but there's definitely lots of interest in the topic, and it seems to have the right keywords that make people in the web development and even web standards community sort of listen up. So that's a good sign, I suppose. Just one thing I wanted to mention, so there was also the linked data platform face-to-face meeting, and the question of format and so on, of course, is relevant there. And so the linked data platform working group has decided that, so it used to say basically, to be compliant, you must support Turtle, and I think it said you should also support RDF XML, and the RDF XML thing was removed now, because some people really said, no, we don't want to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it just says you must use Turtle, and you may support other formats if you like. So JSON LD wasn't specifically mentioned in this discussion. It probably should have been mentioned, but it didn't come up. I just wanted to make you aware of that this discussion basically happened.
Thanks, Richard. I wasn't aware that happened. My one concern, I think we should try and discuss that with the linked data platform group. I'm concerned that having that discussion might be a multi-month discussion, and it might reduce the focus that we have on getting the spec to last call. Do you know if there's a certain time frame that we should talk to them in, Richard, to see if they would also support JSON-LD?
So in a way, it might be helpful to bring it up sooner rather than later, because at the moment it's still a fresh it's a fresh issue that has just been discussed, and basically it has been resolved one way. But if there's immediate pushback against that resolution, then it basically it's probably better to push back immediately rather than in a couple of months' time when it's very entrenched, to at least sort of raise the issue that there's that you may not be completely satisfied with how that went, or what the spec is now going to say there. And so according to our charter, to the LDP charter, the last call draft are due in May next year. As always, I wouldn't be totally surprised if that gets delayed a bit, but there's certainly still going to be opportunities So it's not yet close to any kind of deadline. The first public working draft was just published a few weeks ago, so it's still fairly early in the schedule of the work.
Okay. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I've noticed similar things come up recently on some outcome from TPAC on WebID regarding sort of the normative use of Turtle, which I think many members of the group seem to object to being that strongly behind Turtle and hash URIs was the other thing that came out of that. I think the fact that LDP is also using Turtle normatively might sort of align with that. Although I think it's probably clear to everyone in this group that any sort of web-based format could really highly benefit from JSON. Thought of trying to deal with the differences in Turtle parsers in say JSON is a little bit intimidating, where JSON-LD obviously works quite well.
Yeah, I have many thoughts about the WebID work. I don't think it's going to be very successful, or at least anyway. Yeah, we should chat with the group, but I don't expect them to turn away or I don't expect them to kind of change their decision on Turtle. I think the people that are running that group are very very set
in their
ways. Are you
talking about LDP or WebID?
WebID. LDP is different. But I think WebID is, we've had a number of interactions with them in the past, and it has been very difficult to have any kind of reasonable discussion with a number of the people running that group. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try. That means that I'm probably not going to put that much effort into doing it. Is there anyone here that would want to discuss this issue with that community? Actually, let's have a two. Are there any volunteers for taking up the issue with the LDP community and the WebID community of using JSON-LD beside Turtle, beside Turtle or in lieu of Turtle, or a variety of other proposals we could come up with?
Well,
I'd say that we try to recruit Stefan, who I think he's firmly in bed with the WebID group and also clearly is a JSON-LD advocate, although he's not a member of the group.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, then we should send an email to Stefan. Is there anyone here that takes part in the LDP work?
No. Well, I do, but I'm not sure how good an advocate I would make there, given that I'm just on the fringe of the JSON-LD work and due to my involvement with RDF, the RDF work.
Okay. So maybe this is what we should do. We should send a very quick email to the Web ID and the LDP groups, saying that we have noticed that they have picked Turtle. We think that they should also consider JSON-LD. We would like to have this discussion, a deeper discussion with them after we get JSON-LD to last call. Does that seem like a reasonable way to approach this?
Yes, that sounds very appropriate to me.
Okay. All right, good. Thanks, Greg. I have an action to do that then. Okay. Anything before we move on? All right, so
just a comment. When you send that note to mention that with JSON-LD, you can, with a web client, struct RDF expressions using just JS. You don't need any library. I mean, we already know that, but to highlight that point, throw a context upon there, and it's very simple approach.
Right. You don't need a parser.
Much better than like building Turtle with string concatenation before you send it to an LDP compliant platform.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that's very, very good point. Okay. We have had another kind of barrage of issues come in over the last 2 weeks. During the RDF working group face-to-face call, we effectively signed up to have a last call document ready by the end of January. If we're going to do that, we're going to have to resolve these issues at a faster rate than we have been. So what I'm proposing is that we start dealing with all of these issues purely in the issue tracker, meaning that somebody writes down a proposal and then we'll plus one, minus one, or have the debate in the issue tracker. And the second there seems to be consensus on the issue, then we can commit the spec text and then resolve the issue in the issue tracker, and basically reserve telecon time for things that are very, very contentious. I'm hoping that if we take that approach, the editors of the specs will be able to just start editing the document. We'll be able to commit changes to the documents at a faster rate than we have been. I think that's really what's kind of slowed us down in the last 2 or 3 months, is that we have this long cycle where we discuss things and then make the resolution, and then it takes another month for an editor to go and commit that document to the commit the text to the document. Marcus, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I wanted to ask if it would make sense to send an email to at least the JSON-LD mailing list to say that we are kind of going to freeze the features, so we are not going to add any new features after a certain point in time, maybe, I don't know, end of November.
Yeah. I think that's a very good idea, and I think we should make that now. I don't think we should add any new features.
How about a proposal?
Sure. Does anyone object? Did anyone object to that, doing a feature freeze effective today? There's a small caveat to this, in that if we need to add a feature to resolve one of the issues, and by feature I mean like a really small feature, like a new flag to an existing API call, that we can do that.
I meant more like
major
completely
features.
New features, right. Like something, well, I don't know.
Well, we still have to resolve on regarding the API, whether we basically turn it into a processing document with the API sort of move to an appendix and being de-emphasized.
Right. I think
I don't know if that's considered a feature change.
I wouldn't consider that a feature. I would consider a feature like adding Objectify or adding Link or something major like that. Adding a new way of doing like object ID maps. Sorry, ID
right.
maps would be a new feature. But moving the spec around, making editorial changes, fixing bugs, those are not features.
I think the language tag is still in scope,
yes.
Pending the resolution of the language maps.
Yep. Right. Okay. So it sounds like we're in agreement about what is considered a feature and what is not considered a feature. I'll enter. A feature freeze is in effect for JSON LD 1.0 syntax and JSON LD 1.0 API effective November 6, 2012.
Maybe we should give at least 1 week or something, just, you know, to give someone a chance to at least bring something up.
Keep in mind that these are nothing's binding that we do in this community group. So someone could still come in and say, "Hey, I don't agree with that at all. I want this new feature in there," and then we would, you know, discuss it.
Okay.
So I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, I think
it doesn't prevent anyone from doing that.
I think the thing to do probably is to make it more official is tomorrow. Say it's our recommendation that we do a feature freeze, because
mm-hmm.
it is something the RDFWG can vote on.
So someone might be brewing some kind of brilliant new feature.
No one on these calls, I don't think.
No.
And if so, you know,
to send that brilliant proposal before.
It's not like people ever feel constrained based upon the stability of a document to propose new features. Witness the item ref permathread.
Exactly. All right, there's the proposal.
You're working on something, Nicholas.
Of course you get to vote, Richard.
Everyone that shows up gets a vote.
That's right. We have a very, very low barrier to entry in this group, which is a good thing. Okay. All right, that's resolved. Is everyone in the group comfortable with dealing with these issues in the issue tracker and allowing the editors to make spec edits once there's consensus in the issue tracker? Is anyone opposed to that?
Well, there's a slight concern there that let me think about it for 1 second. So I have a slight concern there that some of the issues some of the issues that have been raised may be better dealt with by pushing back rather than necessarily by actually implementing the concern that has been raised. There is a slight risk, and so I can think of just one issue where I thought that might be the case, but there is a slight risk that in some of the cases, you know, if you just sort of jump in and do edits directly, it might not actually be necessary, and all that required might be a bit of arguing against whoever.
Right. So I completely see your point, and I agree with you. What would have to happen is each one of these issues would have to have consensus in the issue. So for example, if we're debating consider renaming the JSON LD API to JSON LD core processing. We would discuss it in the issue, and then someone would put in a proposal saying, you know, we should rename it using this. We would have a number of plus one, minus one kind of signals in there, and if we have enough people there and nobody's objecting, only then would the editors make the edit. So in the case that you're bringing up, Richard, you would say, no, I don't think we should make this change, we should push back, and therefore that is something that would then be put on to one of the telecon agendas so that we could discuss it. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Just one request. I think it would be a good idea to just kind of do a quick call for consensus, essentially, via the mailing list, saying, or even just in the issue, saying, I plan to address this one in the next 24 hours or so. If you have anything else to say, then now, because it's just because, you know, I want to say a couple of things on a couple of these issues, but it's in my pipeline, and if I know someone's going to move on it, then I'm going to push it to the top of the pipeline, but otherwise it might still...
Okay, so the editors, before making any edits, the editors will check to see if there's consensus, will resolve the item when there's consensus, and then would it be fine if the editors put a resolution in the issue tracker and that is your signal within 24 hours that edit's going to make it in there?
You know, that's, you know, unfortunately not everyone that would need to see it necessarily sees the issue. I think people that are subscribed get a note when the issue is created, but not for all of the subsequent activity on the issue unless they specifically observe it. So if we make that decision there, many people might not see it. I think perhaps if there's something that's specifically sent out to the mailing list, and I think it probably, I mean, whether it's the JSON-LD mailing list or the RDF comments or RDFWG, it needs to be in a place that gives people that might want to start interacting on that an opportunity to come in and do so.
Okay, so how about this? When there's a resolution made, when the editors note a resolution in the issue tracker, they will send an email to the JSON-LD mailing list saying that this resolution has been made. Would that work? And then that they're going to edit the document in 24 hours unless somebody says something.
I'm just going to type in something here, like one way of possibly ending this. So something like this. So basically, it says send an email and say, here's a call for consensus on issues X, Y, and Z. If you have additional concerns about this issue that aren't yet raised there, then please raise them before whatever, tomorrow noon or whatever.
Okay.
It is.
That
works for me.
With the assumption that if no one raises any concern that sounds like a -1, then silent consent and then the editor can go ahead, assuming that that everything that needs to be expressed there has been expressed. That might be one way of ending.
Okay. Yep. Great. Sounds good. Okay. All right. So we're basically switching our mode of operation to that, and we're going to try. Basically, if you're an editor of the document, just keep going through the issue list and keep trying to resolve the issue. Push pretty hard to try and resolve issues. Okay. Anything else on this new mode of operation before we continue? Francois, you're on the queue.
Small points. Do we need to raise issues for typos or small edits that from time to time are not perfect? Or we'll just send emails and that's good? Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, if it's editorial, make the change. And do a pull request, or if it's do you have commit privileges, Francois?
I don't think so. I'm only on the main repository.
Okay. If you're just going to make minor editorial changes, go ahead and do them through pull requests. If you want to start editing the documents more regularly, just let us know, and then we can, give you direct commit privileges or something like that to the spec.
Okay.
basically, if the pull request is getting in your way of being productive, let us know and we'll fix that.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else before we go through the new issues? Okay. All right, so during the RDF working group call, there were a number of new issues that were raised. I'm just going to go through these really quickly. If you have any concerns about how we should resolve the issue, please speak up. So to clarify, let's not have a discussion on these issues. We're just raising, I'm just going to kind of go through them, and if anyone thinks that there's a big problem or there could be a large issue as a result of the thing in the item in the bug tracker, let us know. Okay, so let's start off with clarifying sets and lists. Peter Patel Schneider, I believe, raised this, as did a couple of other people were concerned by. Peter Schneider raised the concern that he didn't understand the difference between sets and lists. Yvonne raised the concern that he feels that having at set there is confusing to people because there's no real there's nothing like that really in Turtle. There's no specific keyword or anything like that in Turtle or the other RDF languages. So there are a couple of people that feel that we are very clear about the difference between sets and lists and how they work. Greg, you were going to say something.
Well, I just say I would be happy to remove the at set from the body of documents. I think we added it just for to be symmetric, but it is somewhat gratuitous.
Mm. Francois, I think you already spoke. Is that right? Nicholas, you're on the queue.
I agree with Greg, and I wonder if it would be better to name at set something like at multiple.
Yeah.
Okay, let's discuss that in the issue.
Yep.
Any other big blockers with this? I feel like it's either we are removing at set or just leaving it the same and explaining a bit more. Okay. Next issue, Jason LD data model for clarifications. That is here. G174. And this is a very long, kind of long thread, kind of responding to Richard on how we view the differences between the data model. I think the discussion that's going on in here is great, and it just needs to kind of keep happening. Richard, I think that this issue is basically waiting on you to finish the mapping, and once that's done, we could probably close this issue. Once you're clear about what the difference is between, or once we're all clear what the differences are between the data models, we can close issue 174. Do you feel that's true? Greg's on the queue first, and then you, Richard.
No, go ahead, Richard.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Just wanted to...
Basically, yes, and I plan to allocate some time to this this week to finishing this, and yeah, then we have to see what exactly the next step is. Yeah.
Fantastic. Good. And I think that's the long tent. That's the long pole in the tent right now. That's the thing that's going to, I think, either resolve or create a giant mess of new issues. I think people are just waiting to see what the new text is to figure out what they if they have any objections. Greg, sorry, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that there is sort of the graph data set thing that we're not really clear on. And the comment I made to Francois's great edits that I think we described JSON-LD as basically creating a graph or being a graph model. It sort of glosses over the data set aspect to it. So I don't think there's something to be said for calling it a data set model. At least we should make sure that we also mention the data set aspect of JSON-LD when named graphs are used.
Well, isn't a data set exactly the same as a JSON-LD document, in a sense? So do we really have to...
Well, no, a data set is an abstract concept. A data set is an abstract. A data set, a JSON-LD is a concrete syntax, and a data set is an abstract syntax, right? So, I mean, I think the reason it's important to draw the similarities is because there are other concrete syntaxes, and I think it's clear, it should be clear that they're not intending to describe anything different.
Well, I mean, a data set is a collection of graphs, right? And that's essentially what a JSON-LD document is as well. So do we really need...
Well,
the question is, do
you,
we really
you
need
could
to
say
introduce
that,
the term data set?
So it is a document, a JSON-LD document without named graphs, a data set with only a default graph, or is it just a graph that might be incorporated into a data set using some name? There's sort of two different things. I think Richard started to discuss this early on, that there was some concern about the difference of perhaps MIME types regarding data sets and graphs. And I don't think we can completely ignore that.
Yeah. Nicholas, I'm going to jump in really quickly.
Sure.
Is there an issue that's tracking this? I don't think there is. And if there isn't, we should create one and have the discussion in there. Let's not have the data set, because this could potentially, you know, become a very long discussion, and we have limited time on the call today. So I think we should just add an issue for this and then have the discussion there. Nicholas, go ahead.
Yeah, just to ensure that this issue considers that we avoid ending up with something that is exclusively representing data sets. Given the use case we mentioned earlier of posting or putting JSON-LD documents to a linked data platform implementation, you want to ensure that you can put that as the data for a specific named graph and not ending up having conflicts there, given what Richard said originally and Greg just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Anything else on the JSON-LD data model clarifications before moving on to the next issue? Okay, the next issue is Sandro took issue with the phrase adding meaning into the spec. I think this is just an editorial fix. He feels that the phrase adding meaning doesn't actually mean anything. So he said he thinks the phrase would just go over the heads of developers, so we need to figure out different language for it. I don't think it's just an editor needs to sit down and think of different language for it. I don't think that's a big issue. Next issue is... Oh, go ahead.
Just to throw in one bit here, it might be worth just bouncing the ball back to Sandro and saying, well, do you have a proposed different wording for that? And there might then be, maybe this generates some discussion, but maybe there are some useful phrases popping up in the discussion that can be used.
Yes, very good idea. I'm talking to Sandro hopefully later today or tomorrow, so I'll just ask him directly during that call.
He did say something, I'll just put it in here.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think Sandra's text is so incredibly specific that it goes over the person's head, right? Because it's just kind of like, you know,
I
much like
all
in that regard.
I like it, though, but I sympathize it could be even more clear, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're trying to keep a somewhat conversational tone to the, I mean, not super conversational, but we're not trying not to be ultra pedantic to the point that it's over the heads of the person reading the document.
Yeah. But something which captures the essence of that, which is how do you use this so-called meaning?
Next issue is issue 180, which is making the link to RDF more apparent in the specification. This is something that David Wood has been saying since May and June. He said that he really wants to see a very explicit link to RDF in the abstract or the introduction, basically saying that JSON-LD is a serialization syntax for RDF. That we should just say that up front in the spec. I've been historically opposed to it, but I'm fine with doing it at this stage if it's going to clear up a lot of these confusions or concerns, then I'm fine with putting, you know, a sentence or two in the introduction. I think would be the best case. Does anyone else feel strongly about this issue, one way or the other? Okay. All right. Looks like people seem to want to add it into the introduction.
Perhaps you should actually do that, given I think that you're the one that's perhaps had the most concern that it doesn't get in the way of things.
I will do that. Yes. Yeah, I will add that. Next issue is issue 178. Consider renaming JSON-LD API to JSON-LD Core Processing. This was brought up by Yvonne. Yvonne feels that there are two concerns here. One of them is that the RDF working group isn't composed of the proper membership to create a web IDL specification. Which is true, I think, but I think that the people in this group do know how to create a spec like that. The other concern is that the having a web IDL specification and saying that the web IDL is normative sends the wrong message. It tells people that want to provide an API that is compatible with the algorithms but not compatible with the web IDL. It makes it seem as if their JSON-LD processor is non-conforming in some way. So the suggestion has been put forward that we should change the JSON-LD API spec to say JSON-LD core processing. And then with the API, we could do one of two things. We could, one, split it out into another specification, or two, we could put it in as an appendix at the very end of the specification, saying that it's normative, but that developers can also just implement the algorithms in their own libraries, and as long as they have the result of the algorithm, then they're, you know, they're in a certain class of JSON-LD processors. We need to work out the language for that, but that's kind of what this issue is about. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, Richard had a great email earlier today regarding orthogonality and specifications, and in particular, I think it was relating to sort of strongly linking the syntax which is used for representing languages with the sort of linking behavior, and I think that that orthogonality argument probably also relates to having sort of a concrete, you know, web IDL API as part of these specifications, that doing so tends to limit the applicability of specifications because they sort of are crossing over in domains that doesn't really isn't really key to what they're trying to accomplish.
Richard, you're on the queue.
Without wanting to necessarily get into a big discussion about this, so my mail was, well, I didn't have JSON-LD in mind at all when I said this, really. It was really about the fact that, you know, with RDF concepts, there are so many other documents that depend on it, that anything you do there has all sorts of funny consequences because of how it's going to be interpreted by those other specs in the light of the other specs that depend on it. I think if you have sort of a new spec that doesn't have all these complicated interdependencies, then this might be less of an issue. And there is, of course, a cost in splitting a document into too many others in order to try to keep them all nicely orthogonal and nicely separated. So, So I have more to say on this, but probably in the interest of time, that's something to better discuss in the issue.
Okay. Francois, you're on the queue.
So maybe I'll use the issue tracker as well. Just two things. One is so I understand the arguments in favor of removing the API or in favor of making it non-normative. I would actually prefer that we leave it in, because if we move it to another document, it would just disappear. That's kind of a guaranteed. So if we feel that it's needed, we should try to keep it in as long as we can. Second point is that one thing that I think is very important is that the syntax and the algorithm, at least, are completely tied together. And right now, the tie is if you look at the latest editor's draft, actually, it's only an informative reference in the spec, and it looks completely wrong to me. It's really describing the same thing from two viewpoints, but it's really the same thing. So we need to ensure that this changes in the future.
I'll just jump in there. Let me just jump in quickly with regards to that. I think we discussed this earlier, and there was some concern about having two documents normatively reference each other, and that it was stronger to have the API normatively reference the syntax and not so much the other way around. But certainly that can be revisited.
Well, right. Okay, so very honestly, I don't understand why there are two documents. Actually, I would have only one, but it could be in interest of the length. But anyway, that's not such a big deal. The importance is that the importance is that the documents exist, that what the content exists. So it shouldn't be a problem to normatively have a circular dependence.
Actually,
it just means that both documents must progress at the same pace. But basically, as the JSON-LD syntax, the basic section and the advanced section actually describe what the algorithm do to the JSON-LD document. It needs to be the case. Anyway, I'll write my concerns down.
Okay. Marcus?
I think we should keep in mind who we are trying to address with those documents. If you're trying to address web developers, we should keep calling it the API spec, because all they're looking for is the API and not so much the algorithms. But other people, like the RDF working group mainly, they are more interested in the algorithms, which shows them how JSON-LD can be transformed to RDF. So I don't know what's the best way, but we should really be clear about who we are trying to address with those specs. And regarding the normative reference, I don't really think that we need a normative reference from the syntax to the APIs, but we discussed that already quite a number of times. But yeah, that's just a minor edit.
Yeah, so one of the key reasons that there are two specs right now, Francois, early on we decided that we shouldn't try and link the syntax and the API together when we're going to rec, because one of them could trail the other one by quite a bit. That is not what has ended up happening. So now the two documents are fairly close together and we expect them to go to rec at the same time. But at the same time, we also tried to make sure that we didn't try and normatively reference, we didn't try and tie both documents together. So we went to a lot of lengths to try and make sure that there are no normative statements going from the syntax document over to the API spec. And I think and while I do agree with you that it's somewhat strange in the way that W3C specs are normally written, I think the positive effects of splitting the two is that it makes it very easy for people to just read the syntax spec without having to worry about the API spec, and it also allows us to take these things to rec at a different rate. They don't need to be lockstep with one another as they go to rec. Richard, you're on the queue.
Hi, Marcus, I just wanted to push back a little bit, or not necessarily. So I wanted to say, I feel quite strongly that specifications should be written most of all with the implementers in mind. And I think that in this particular case, it makes a lot of sense to really focus the specification on implementers of these algorithms, because the thing that developers who will work with the implementations, they really just need the API documentation, and that is something that is probably better served to them in a different form, like as documentation of the particular library that they're using, or you know, like they don't have to go to the specification, but they can go to, so it'll be easy enough to provide them with the API documentation in a form that is optimized for their needs, basically. And if you work with that assumption that it will be possible to provide this documentation to them in a different way, then this sort of frees you a little bit in creating the spec to really address that, really be focused on implementers and kind of not being afraid of giving the gory details that you need to specify there in order to make things really unambiguous and so on. So I think that's kind of that's a good way of thinking about the target audience of documents.
Yeah, of course, I completely agree with that. It's more about the message, which is, well, communicated if you call something core processing instead of calling it just API spec. It just sends a different message, in my opinion. And developers are it's much more likely that developers will look at an API spec, even if it just contains algorithms, than they are looking at a spec that is called core processing or core algorithms or something. It's more or less just about marketing, and it's not really about the content of the document.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's have the rest of the discussion in the issue tracker.
Yeah.
All right. Next issue is this is actually the same kind of thing. It's consider moving the web IDL to an appendix or a note. I don't think anyone here is in favor of moving it out of the document. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. So it seems that the only discussion is whether we move the web IDL to an appendix or not. I'm fine with moving it to an appendix, but do have some of the same concerns that Marcus has with it. Francois, you're on the queue.
Just to say that in my view, it doesn't change anything if you move it to an appendix, which is actually a good response. It doesn't change its normative binding, or it doesn't change. It just tries to hide the API, but it doesn't change anything in practice. But that's okay. I'm fine with not changing anything and just phrasing that.
Yeah, I think the reason that the spec is the way, well, I know the reason the way the spec is the way it is because it seems like we wanted to do, with all of these specs, we wanted to give the reader a gentle introduction to the material and then drill in deeper as the spec, as they read, you know, deeper into the spec. And it seemed to me that the easiest way to introduce the reader to the API spec is to just give the web IDL really simply at the top and say, look, this is everything that's in this document, you know, summarized in like three paragraphs of web IDL, and then the rest of the document just outlines what all those things are. But I think Yvonne's reading that differently in that he's reading it as a, well, everything must, you know, conform to this web IDL period. If you don't, then you don't have a JSON-LD compatible, you know, processor. Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I would just say that if we do rename it as core processing, then I think it makes sense to move the web idle down to an appendix. We keep it API. It makes sense to keep it up there. But I think this is really an issue that was a big concern in the RDF working group, and I think this needs to be discussed there. There was certainly a lot of feeling, I think Yvonne had suggested, to actually move the processing rules into the syntax doc. I guess my main concern there is that it makes that just a much bigger document.
Yeah, I'd be fairly opposed to doing that as well. Okay. Anything else on the new issues that have been raised?
I just want to say that I my feeling is like the I agree with the proposals to change it to core processing. I've had this sentiment, although I haven't really been able to articulate it in any good way. It might come from my wearing the RDF hat for too many years, or something like that. But it feels better somehow to me.
Renaming it to core processing feels better to you than API?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's it for the review of the new issues. All of the future discussion on these issues should probably happen in the issue tracker. I think we have two other issues that we're going to raise, but we'll follow the process that we outlined at the beginning of the call. Okay, now actual issue discussion. I think there are two big items that are remaining that need to be resolved in the specs. The first one is the JSON-LD data model to RDF data model mapping. And Richard is working on that this week, and we'll kind of revisit it after he's committed his text to the spec. The other one is the language container discussion. So the language container discussion, I think we're still waiting on, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're basically waiting on, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. If we're going to create these B nodes to represent the language map in expanded form in JSON-LD, or if we're just going to generate these when we go to RDF so that these language maps are round-trippable from RDF to RDF and back. Is that the main decision that this group needs to make at this point?
Yeah. At this point, I feel like I'm sort of a minority of one advocating the B node. I did discuss this extensively with Lynn over the weekend here, and we met together in Berkeley. And I think she feels pretty strongly that having the expanded node make use of B nodes or anonymous node definitions would be difficult for her community. And of course, she's not really concerned about the RDF transformation at all. I feel the other way. I think that this is an example where we're sort of creating a data model, which is different than RDFs, even though we may be able to reconcile it in the transformation to RDF, but it makes the sort of the concrete syntax within JSON-LD just completely at odds. And I frankly just don't. I'm not as sympathetic to the concern that in the expanded form there are some nodes represented there. However, I don't, unless there's a lot of support for the B-node view within expansion, I think we sort of have to go the other way.
Nicholas, you're on the queue.
I think that I am also in that team of one, Greg, more or less. I wrote the suggestion 2 days ago there. I don't know if you saw it in issue 133 here, that perhaps we don't need an intermediate B node if, and I'm not sure about this at all, but if we folded the app language into the resource as the Dublin Core language instead, sort of reified it, kind of like type and RDF type, plays different roles depending on whether they end up on literals or node definitions.
Yeah, I saw it. I'm afraid I haven't been able to look at it with adequate diligence.
All right. No, I need to think about the proposals I did there as well. But I think that I have the same reservations as you regarding that we move beyond RDF, and I'm not sure what we'll end up with if we do.
So the main thing I'm concerned about is that we generate some kind of data format that is not ideal for Drupal, and I'm really not concerned about the divergence with the in this specific case. I'm not concerned about the divergence with the JSON-LD data model and the RDF data model, because I think if we do diverge, the JSON-LD data model is better. It's easier on developers, and that's really, from my point of view, that's what we're trying to do here with JSON-LD. We're trying to make it really easy for people to use, for developers to use RDF without having to worry about, you know, B nodes and things of that nature. So I feel that if we do this translation to a B node, that we're kind of working against what the spec's supposed to enabling for developers. I'm opposed right now to the generation of B nodes because of that. Not because they're B nodes, but because it seems like it's going to be more difficult for developers to work with the data in expanded form. But that's a hunch right now. I still need to go back through and reread all the proposals to make sure that hunch actually holds. Marcus, you're on the queue.
I think the main question is how we are if we are going to allow resources or nodes in our case to be language tagged or marked with a language. And if we are going to allow that, then we will need to either introduce some vocabulary or allow the add language tag on nodes. And if we do that, then we can split the problem into two. So one will be the JSON-LD part and then the mapping to RDF. Maybe it's easier to solve it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's sort of what I suggest, because I think that the intermediate B node might not be necessary if we, at some level, interpret the app language in resources to mean Dublin Core language.
Yeah, that's then what the mapping to RDF is concerned about.
Yeah.
But within JSON-LD, we could just use add language for that, for example.
Yeah, but we should... I wrote much more in the comment. We should continue that discussion because there are implications if we go down that route, and there are complications if we go a bit further.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm trying to figure out what the clear path forward for this is. Okay, so if we take what Marcus is saying and split this into two parts, so we're basically deciding whether or not we allow language to be involved with resources in expanded form. And then we're taking the mapping to DC language as something different. Is that the second, Marcus?
Yeah, the second part is basically the mapping to RDF, so how we are going to represent in the abstract RDF model.
Okay, so maybe the abstract RDF, maybe the RDF decision is easier. I personally don't care how it's expressed in RDF, or rather what Greg has proposed, that we generate VNodes for language maps in RDF, I think is a perfectly workable solution. It's round trippable. I'm happy with that. Greg, is that would you be happy with that solution as well? The representation as VNodes in RDF?
Well, the representation of VNodes in RDF was my proposal. But I think what Nicholas is suggesting, that rather than needing an intermediate VNode, we could just add, we could transform, say, at language into DC language in the as a property of the subject of sort of the translated node definition that is a value, and then coming back, if we saw DC language as part of that, we would know that that node was now appropriate to be used when compacting with a term that had a language container.
What if the resource already had a DC language?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I don't really see that that's a problem, actually. If it already had it, it just means when you compacted, you would need it explicitly represented in the node definition. It would be implicit based upon the presence within the language map. Now, mind you, when you come back from RDF, there is no language mapping. You're just going to an expanded form, so it would include the language. What the rules would say, I guess, is we would transform DC language to AT language, which could then exist in either expanded or compacted form, and it would be just known as being a synonym for DC language. And then with specific rules on doing compaction with language maps, that allowed it to be represented under a particular language. I don't know, Nicholas, was that sort of the gist of your suggestion?
Yes, very much so.
I think that resolves the problem with Drupal, since we're not creating intermediate VNodes. We have a clear mapping into RDF, although we are making use of a vocabulary item which is not itself specifically part of RDF. To get over that, we could consider minting something like a JSON LD namespaced property, which perhaps then has a relationship with DC language. Or I don't know, Richard, is there a similar property in RDF or namespace? I'm not aware of any.
Similar to DC language, no. So DC terms language would be the most standard one for expressing language.
So I think that binding to DC language doesn't make it that much weaker, and it's a lot easier to do that than trying to invent another vocabulary.
Yep.
Yeah. If needed, we could add an option for that in expansion.
Yeah, and I don't know if we really even need that extra option in expansion. Let's just bind a DC language and say that's it, you know.
Yeah,
You know, we don't need to really give people that option. I don't see what giving people the option really buys.
No.
Okay. Greg, do you feel like you have enough? I mean, what's being proposed, at least to me, seems reasonable. Do you feel like there are any unanswered questions in the algorithm with what we just discussed?
Well, the only thing, so I think the only thing that is that we don't have a solution for is for typed values, or in more particular, plain string values. Right, because if those happen to have been expressed as part of a language map, then there's no way to keep that expression in expanded form. We could add a language to a typed value, but I think we're diverging even further from RDF concepts in that regard. So I guess I would just say that those are cases that this does not handle. It does not round trip.
Doesn't matter. I agree.
Okay. Could you? So we're out of time for the day, and both of you have a hard deadline. Would you mind writing up that proposal, Greg, in the issue?
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of take it from there and see if that corner case is something people care about or they don't. Okay, great. That's it for the call this week. Thanks, everyone, for all of the discussion. And we'll meet again next week. Anything else before we leave? Okay, great. Have a great week, guys. Bye.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks.